All right, Beech Grove, let's turn to the small little epistle of 2 Timothy, which is towards the back of your Bible in the New Testament, just a little four-chapter book. 2 Timothy, we're going to start in chapter 3, verse 14, and then read into chapter 4, verse 5. And if you don't have a Bible with you, we have Pew Bibles. Again, I will be reading out of an NIV translation, so your Bible might be a little bit different if you have King James or some other version, and that's okay. But 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, if you have your place, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning for these verses from the word of God, starting with verse number 14. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge: preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. We'll stop there and let's go to God and pray. Father, I pray that this scripture just works its way deep into each and every one of our hearts, that it does its transforming work. And Father, I pray that the preaching that I do here complements your word here and expounds on the scriptures, that we all may have a better and a more full understanding of what your text is saying. It's a privilege, Lord, to be standing in front of this group of people. I thank you for this opportunity. But you get all the honor and you get all the glory, because you're the author of what we have just read. And I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. It would be rather predictable that on the Sunday before Thanksgiving that preachers across America would deliver a sermon on thanks. After all, we do have much to be thankful for, don't we? The Lord has been very good to each and every one of us. And as I look back through my sermons of years past, I have preached a Thanksgiving message multiple times on this Sunday before Thanksgiving. But that's not going to happen today. But I do hope that each and every one of us in here, that we take some time, not only today, not only this week, but really all the time, to thank God for all the things that we have, all the blessings that he's given us, because we are certainly a blessed group of people. Amen? We are. But today I want to talk about a topic that we probably all take for granted. And I got this idea for this message based on what we talked about in our Sunday school class a week ago. Not only that, but maybe a little nudging from the Holy Spirit here too. So for the next several weeks, I'm going to be preaching on preaching. I'm going to be preaching about preaching. I have here in my notes, this will be a short 3-week series. I should know better than to ever say anything like that. But it's going to be shorter than the Ten Commandments. Okay, Ten Commandments were 34 weeks, and this will be a little bit shorter. But there's a couple of points that I want to cover for as many weeks as it takes us to cover. Maybe it will be three weeks. But But these 5 points I want to cover over the next several weeks. Number one, when a pastor must be ready to preach. Number two, how a preacher must prepare his messages. Number three, the intentions of a pastor's preaching. Number four, what the Word of God will accomplish. And number five, why all of this is commanded by God. And we're really going to find the answers to most of those in the few verses that we read here. But we're not going to answer all those today. But first, to set us off straight, we must answer this question that will point us in the right direction for this little mini-series that I'm doing. And the question is this: what is a pastor's primary biblical command as a pastor of a church? Okay? That's the question that we're going to answer today. What is a pastor's, in this case me, what is a pastor's primary biblical command as a pastor of a church? Back in 2011, I preached a sermon series called Church is a Place of, and then there was a fill in the blank after that. And in that series, I said that there are certain things that happen in a church sanctuary when believers like us gather together for a Sunday morning worship service. And I had a whole lot of points, but a few of those points were this. I said that church is a place of worship. We come together as a body of believers to worship God together as an assembly. Number two, we said it was a place of giving. We give our financial resources to further God's kingdom on the face of this earth. And just a third one, I said that church is a place of prayer. When we gather together, we lay our prayers and petitions in the lap of God, and we do ask for His favor and His blessings, just as we did here recently. But as important as those issues are, my primary biblical command, believe it or not, is not to lead you into worship, is not to encourage you to give financially, and is not to pray with you as a congregation. It's not my primary biblical command. And there's more. My primary biblical command from the Word of God is not to attend church board meetings, or to visit people in hospitals, or to sing with a choir during the special music, or to organize special church events, or to have lunch or socialize with you. Even though I enjoy doing all those things, and there's merit in doing all those things, it is still not my primary biblical command as outlined by the Word of God. So let's answer that question. What is a pastor's primary biblical command as a pastor of a church? And we find that answer in verses 1 and 2. Let me read those again to you in chapter number 4. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, in the view of His appearing and His kingdom, I give you this charge. What are the next three words? Preach the word. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. So we have five different fill-in-the-blanks in our bulletin this morning, if you have a bulletin. So let's look at our first fill-in-the-blank. And this one's going to be pretty straightforward. I think we just answered it. So what is my primary biblical command as a pastor of a church, or any pastor of any church? A pastor's primary biblical command is to preach the word. Three words: preach the word. There are many duties over the years that have traditionally fallen under the responsibility of a church pastor. And I understand all those. But first and foremost, according to the Word of God, a pastor must preach the word. That is our mandate as pastors. That is my mandate as your pastor. And even though the Apostle Paul is writing this epistle, this letter, to his protege Timothy at the church in Ephesus, and Timothy is the pastor there. Some Bibles might use the word bishop or overseer. They're all the same. This scripture that's written here that I just read to you, that applies to all pastors. Therefore, to preach the word is a command from God to all pastors. And it says this in verse number 1, chapter 4, verse 1. In the presence of God and of Jesus Christ. Well, what does that mean? It's as if all pastors everywhere, regardless of time or country, have been given this command right here to preach the word, and with God and with Jesus Christ as witnesses to this charge. It's almost as if I'm kind of standing there and I'm going through this ordination of becoming a pastor, and there's the Apostle Paul giving me this charge. Hey, guess what, Mike Owen? You're going to preach the word. Well, if you're going to be a pastor, you're going to preach the word. And here on either side of me is God the Father and Jesus Christ, and they're kind of looking at me and saying, that's right. That's what you're going to do. And if I look at it that way, and if every pastor would look at it that way, that this is not just a command that's given by the Apostle Paul to Timothy, that right beside me are people who are going to hold me accountable to this command. And it's the Father, and it's Jesus Christ. So guess what? It's what I not only better do, it's what I must do. The three epistles of 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus are what we call the pastoral letters. And they lay out God's plan for church and how a man of God must pastor the church. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, it gives a list of credentials that a pastor needs to meet. And one of those credentials in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, is this, that he must be able to teach. So our second fill in the blank would be this, pretty straightforward again. A pastor must be able to teach. Teach. Preaching must include teaching. If you can't teach, you better not be preaching. And teaching isn't something that a pastor just does in a Sunday school on a Sunday morning before church or in a weekday Bible study. When a pastor preaches, it is important that he explains, that he teaches what this word means to his congregation. So that's the foundation of what I must do. The pastor must preach the word of God, and I must be able to teach. And that's the foundation. So now let's look at I said there were 5 points I wanted to cover. We're going to cover two of those here today. So let's look at the first one, and it's our next fill in the blank. A pastor must be ready to preach the word in season and out of season. In season and out of season. Now, I know here in our secular world, we have 4 seasons, right? We have spring, we have summer, we have fall, and we have winter. And if you were like me, you grew up in the 60s, you had the 4 seasons featuring Frankie Valli, okay? Which we all listen to. And I'm not going to start singing any of those songs for you here this morning. But according to the Apostle Paul, there are 2 seasons. You're either in season or you're out of season. And if a pastor must be ready to preach either in season or out of season, that means what? A pastor must be able to preach when? All the time. All the time. So what does that mean? What does that encompass? If I need to be able to preach in season and out of season, does that mean that, you know, when I get a call from the church down the road and they say, you need to come preach? Yeah, that would certainly fall into that. But let me give you just a few other things that I believe that means in season and out of season. Number one, to preach in season and out of season means I must be able to speak anywhere and everywhere according to the word of God. Okay? That even means if I'm at Walmart in a checkout line and someone's asked me a question about something, I need to give an answer according to the word of God. It also means this, number two, it means I give biblical advice and not worldly counsel when people ask me questions. Number three, it means I don't always respond with a 30-minute sermon. Go ahead, you can say it. Amen. To every question that I'm asked, but I always trust and I always support the word of God with whatever my answer is going to be. And number four, it also means this, 1 Peter 3:15, great verse. It means that I am always prepared, as are you, always prepared to give an answer to everyone that asks me to give the reason for the hope that I have. Now, Just a quick little story time with Pastor Mike. And this just happened this past week. I was coming in from, I had gone out to lunch. I don't know what day it was, Tuesday or Wednesday. And I was coming back to the plant, and this guy was walking out. And we crossed each other, we crossed paths there in the parking lot. And he said, Mike, I understand you're a preacher. And I said, yes, I am. I said, is there something I can help you with? And he goes into this long story about how him and his wife are having these marital difficulties, that she wants to take him to court, that she did this, and their business is happening here. And this is all, and the conversation focused strictly on legal stuff involving lawyers and getting sued and doing this. And I asked him, I said, what do you want me to do? I'm not a lawyer. I'm a preacher. And he said, well, what do you think? And I said, my first advice is you need to get your marriage back together again, because that's where I'm going to come from. If you're over here and she's over here and you want to be married, do I hear you right that you want to be married? He said, well, I love her. Well, then you need to get your marriage together. You want my counsel? It's going to be godly counsel. I will never, ever, ever encourage two people to split up or get a divorce. What does the Bible say? And I think he was a little disappointed in my answer, to be quite honest with you, because I think he was expecting legal counsel. I'm not a lawyer. I'm a preacher. And that's the kind of advice that I give. So let's move on to fill in the blank number 4. So what does the Word of God include? If I'm supposed to preach the Word, what is that? And our fill in the blank would be this. The Word of God includes every topic and situation from Genesis to Revelation. And this is what we call the full counsel of God. Every topic and every situation from Genesis to Revelation. A pastor must preach the full counsel of God. Now, if any of us have ever been through the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation, there's a whole lot of topics there, and there's a whole lot of situations. And I guarantee I will be on my deathbed and not be able to cover all of them. It's just not going to happen. I don't understand some of these preachers who say, I don't know what to preach on this coming Sunday. What? How do you know what to preach on? It's the Word of God. I could preach on a passage 1 week and preach on it a year later and look at it from a totally different point of view, because the Word of God is active and alive, is it not? Right? It's a double-edged sword. In Sunday school, we're talking about evangelism, which is how Christians share our faith and we share the gospel with others. And I mentioned the fact that I have sat in churches over my lifetime, both Catholic churches and Protestant churches, for years, and I've never, in those churches, never, ever heard a salvation message. I never heard the gospel. And the gospel is the only message that can ever save anybody. Praise the Lord, I got saved at work where somebody shared the gospel message with me there. Had I stuck in some of them churches, I wouldn't be standing in front of you today, and I wouldn't be saved. It seemed like the only messages that I ever heard in some of those, yeah, I'll use the word, dead churches, were messages on, oh, you need to be a good person, you know, or the Good Samaritan. You know, somebody's broken down on the road, you need to stop and help them out. And you hear that time and time and time again. There's nothing wrong with being a good person, amen? It's nice to be a good person. We should all be good people. But it's time to get away from the milk and get into the meat, right? Amen? We need to move on. Whatever happened to preachers preaching the full counsel of God? It is a pastor's responsibility to be knowledgeable about more than just one biblical topic. Some pastors are very good at one topic, such as Bible prophecy. But some of these pastors, that's all they know. They're really good at it, but that's all they know. Ask them about, here's some big words for you. Okay, ready? We've covered all these. Ask them about cessationism. Ask them about soteriology. Ask them about propitiation. Ask them about dispensationalism. And yes, they are all things that we have talked about. And you're saying, maybe we'll have a refresher. Okay? And they swear, I've never heard those words before. You must be using some other kind of Bible. No, we've talked about them here. Big words to cover different topics about the full counsel of God. Amen? That's what we're supposed to do. We are to preach the full counsel of God. Your lucky day. You get two stories today. Story time number two with Pastor Mike. When I first got saved in 1994, I was attending a United Methodist church. And when I got saved, I was extremely excited about my salvation in this new faith that I have. And so I became part of what they called the preaching circuit. On any given Sunday, the United Methodist Church would call me up and ask me to go preach at Church XYZ, or this United Methodist Church, or this one, because they didn't have enough preachers to fill the pulpits. They asked me to go by something called the lectionary. I don't know if you've ever heard that word before or not. Lectionary. The lectionary is just this little guide, and you open it up, and you look up what Sunday it is, you know, like the Sunday before Thanksgiving, and they'll give you three different scripture readings. An Old Testament scripture reading, a New Testament gospel reading, or a New Testament epistle or letter reading. And it was up to me to decide which one of those three do I want to preach on when I go out to preach. That's what they very highly recommended that I do. Preach on one of these three. But what happens is this. You get pastors who are part of that church. They go by the lectionary. Hey, this year I'll preach the Old Testament scripture. Next year I'll preach the gospel. Next year I'll preach the epistle. Oh, you're number four. Hey, let's go back to the Old Testament scripture. The lectionary never changed. Never changed. And it included the same scriptures year after year after year after year. So I just decided if I'm going to go on out and preach on the United Methodist circuit, that I will just preach whatever the Holy Spirit puts into my head. And that's what I ended up doing. So I did not follow. I did follow the lectionary a couple times, but the lectionary cannot possibly cover the full counsel of God. It can't do it. Let's go to our fifth and final fill in the blank. What about a pastor's sermon, the message, this thing that I'm speaking right now? And our fill in the blank says this: a pastor's message of the Word of God must be prepared with great patience and delivered with careful instruction. And those are the words that the NIV uses about the Word of God. I prepare my messages with great patience, and I deliver them with careful instruction. Let's talk about preparing the message part here first. It is a pastor's responsibility to learn and understand what God is saying through his word right here, and then share that wisdom and knowledge with his congregation. And the last thing that I believe any true pastor wants to do is to share bad teaching or incorrect theology or bad theology with his people. I don't want to lead this congregation down a path of destruction. And there is a right way and a wrong way to go about preparing a message. Let's talk about the right way first. The right way, and this is kind of what I do. The right way is the first thing. I pray about the scripture and what the Lord wants me to preach on for this coming Sunday. And I ask God to lead me into the truths that we all need to learn. You would not believe, and I just said, I ask God to lead me into the truths that we all need to learn, that we all need to learn. Do you realize how much preparation that I do throughout the week? Things that I learn? You don't think I know all this stuff, do you? A lot of this stuff I learn as we are teaching it and as I'm preaching it. I don't know the full counsel of God, but boy, I love doing this. Because I learned hopefully as well as everybody else. But I won't need to make sure I said that. And then I go to reliable sources that help unlock these truths to me. Go to commentary, go to websites, places that I trust. And I must do this with great patience and with godly discernment. Because believe me, as you already know, anything you want to know is out there on the internet, and they'll agree with whatever position, whatever stand you want to take. So a lot of the stuff out there that I see, I just don't fall for. I cannot become frustrated and I cannot become rushed with what I'm learning. The preparation of preaching the word must never be taken lightly. And I love doing it. Thank you for allowing me to be your pastor that I could do this. On the other hand, there's a wrong way to do it. And let me explain that real quickly. Here's one wrong way to do it. The pastor goes online. He goes to some sermon website. Yes, there is a website, www.sermons.com. And you purchase a sermon or two, or maybe a whole series. Yes, you purchase these things. And then you take that sermon and you look through it and you kind of massage it a little bit to kind of fit your congregation. And then you deliver that message on a Sunday morning. My friends, that is not preaching the word of God. That's not preparing with great patience. That's preparing with laziness, is what that is. And when you get up front on a prepaid sermon, that's just reading. And anybody can get up front here and read somebody else's sermon. So that's the wrong way to do it. And finally, for today we have delivering the message. A message must be delivered with careful instruction. That's what the NIV says, what the Bible says. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Careful instruction goes hand in hand with preparing a message with great patience. If I do not prepare my message with great patience, then I probably do not care if you ever understand a word that I'm saying, a word that this says, or you're ever instructed by the word of God. But any pastor who does not care about his calling, and I'll say this again too, you've heard me say it, this isn't a job, this is a calling, okay? I was called here, okay? I was called here. I did not grow up thinking, oh, Mikey's going to be a pastor one day. That was not on the radar. I wanted to be a rock and roll star, okay? I did. But when God has different ideas for you, you go with them. But any pastor who does not care about his calling will also not care about his people. But any pastor who does care about his calling will also care about his people. So that pastor will deliver the message with careful instruction, because that pastor will have a desire that anyone and anyone who hears this message, including myself, will hear sound instruction and experience a transformation by the preaching of the word. Because remember, it's not so much what I say that transforms lives, it is what that transforms lives. The word of God. This is what transforms lives. Paul goes on to say this, do not be deceived. 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth, and they will turn aside to myths. We don't see that today, do we, in our society? Oh, that's going to be one of those other messages coming up, either next week or the week after. I am convinced of this, people, that people who hunger for sound doctrine will be in a church where the pastor preaches sound doctrine and answers the call to preach the word. And the people who do not desire sound doctrine, we all know what's going to happen to them, right? They're going to go somewhere else. They're going to go to a place that suits them. They're going to go to a place where not what they need to hear, they're going to go to a place where they hear what they want to hear. That's what's going to happen. And unfortunately, there are still people who really don't know that there's a difference between sound doctrine and not sound doctrine. Maybe there would be more people that understood sound doctrine if there was more sound doctrine being preached by preachers today. So, What is my primary biblical command? Very simple. Three words. Mike, preach the word. In season and out of season. That's what I have to do. That is my command. We'll learn more about preaching the word over the next couple weeks. Right now, let's go to God in prayer.